Track 5. We now have a completely new innovation. This is the first part of a monthly history of the Norwich to Diss Railway. Not the current one used by Greater Anglia, but the old and closed one that started at Norwich Victoria Station. The history is being written by Tim Edwards, and the two readers of this first instalment are Tony Stimpson and Dorothy Sneasby. Tony will start us off.
You may recall that in April's edition of Just Talk, we featured a letter from listener Margaret Hare, who cleared up our question of where was Norwich Victoria Station by telling us it was at the top of St Stephen Street, more or less where the Marsh Building is now. She said it did have passengers, but she can remember that it was bombed in 1942. She can also remember seeing people collecting coal around there in the harsh winter of 1947. And I know there used to be a coal yard where Sainsbury's now is, because I've lived in the house which overlooked the depot. Not the greatest of views. This has spurred Tim on to research the routes of the trains arriving at this long-departed station. All aboard as we take the steam engine from Norwich to the most southern part of Norfolk to the London-bound route. It will be stopping at Tivetsall, Burston and Flawden and Fawnsett and Swainsthorpe before our destination of Diss. These stations, other than Diss, are no longer served by mainline trains or any other train for that matter, so this is a unique journey of the imagination. We will visit one station a month and learn about its history and the stories of the villages or towns that it served. We hope this will be of interest to not just train buffs, as there will be little talk of the trains themselves, but to those wanting to hear about the smaller areas of Norfolk that don't get mentioned much. If you have memories or stories of these locations, please do share them with us, and we can include your tales in the future stops along the train tracks. In this first episode, we'll hear about the formation of the railways, and as if that wasn't exciting enough, Derek James will add some colour to the story by telling us about the wonderful gardens of pleasure that existed at this location, as well as the first manned balloon flight in Norwich. Now back to the trains. Norwich Victoria was the former terminus of the Great Eastern Main Line, which was at one time one of the three stations located in Norwich, the others being Norwich City and Norwich Thorpe. City Station closed in 1969, but Thorpe Station, now known simply as Norwich, remains in use. The Victoria Station was opened by the Eastern Union Railway, EUR, with regular passenger services commencing on the 12th of December 1849. The circular or rotunda booking hall of the station had once housed a circus, which formed an entertainment centre known as Ranelagh Gardens. The circus on the site had been operated by a Spanish-sounding gentleman named Pablo Funke, in reality a Mr. Darby from Norwich. And when the EUR purchased the site, they then sold the various circus fittings. The station had two platforms arranged in a V shape, with the V at the south end of the rotunda containing the ticket office at the north end. A small garden was located between the two platforms. According to the 1914 Ordnance Survey plan of the site, there was a two-road engine shed and a turntable to the west of the station to turn around the engines for the return trip to London, and goods facilities to the east. The station was in a poor location, and passengers wishing to continue a journey beyond Norwich had to transfer to Thorpe Station. The EUR was taken over by Eastern Counties Railway, ECR, in 1854. However, by the 1860s, the railways in East Anglia were in financial trouble, and most were leased to the ECR. It wished to amalgamate formally, but could not obtain government agreement for this until 1862, when the Great Eastern Railway, GER, was formed by the amalgamation. Thus, Norwich Thorpe and Norwich Victoria became GER stations in 1862. The station closed to passenger traffic in 1916, but remained open as a goods depot, with coal being handled in the adjacent yard where Sainsbury's now stands on Queen Street. As Margaret recalled, the engine shed and turntable had been removed by 1926. The station buildings were largely demolished after the Second World War and were finally removed in February 1953. The trackbed has been converted into a footpath known as Lakenham Way for use by pedestrians and cyclists. Before we board the train, let's hear from historian and journalist Derek James, who tells us what that area of the city, just outside the city walls at the top of St. Stephen Street, had been used for. He recounts a remarkable tale of public entertainments, now long since vanished, the Pleasure Gardens. Derek's words are read by Dorothy.
The story of Victoria starts in the 1840s, 50s, when the glory days of the Pleasure Gardens in Norwich were coming to an end. This busy and bustling corner of the city has an extraordinary history. Before the trains arrived, this area was a palace of pleasure which attracted huge crowds. Many from the courts and yards of old Norwich, who headed outside the city walls for fun and games in a bleak world. From Smith's Rural Gardens in 1766 to Quantrell's Runley Pleasure Gardens were a whole host of spectacular events, such as firework displays, weird and wonderful shows, and balloon ascents took place, attracting huge crowds. This was a large and spectacular landscape garden for the people of Norwich and Norfolk, on land which stretched from the area where now there is the St. Stephen's Roundabout to Sainsbury's Supermarket. The first manned balloon flight from Norwich took place from here with James Decker on board in the 1780s. He eventually came down with a bump in Loddon and was mobbed by a crowd when he made it back to Norwich. The next chap to head off in a balloon ended up in the sea. In those days, there was great rivalry between the famous Norwich Pleasure Gardens, and it was firework maker and showman William Quantrell who came up with the monster firework, which he called Harlequin from the Globe. Set that off along with dancers of Furies and Sig, and you were on a winner. By 1790, Quantrell commissioned renowned Norwich artist John Ninham to produce a replica of the Bastille. And on Guild Day, following a concert and fireworks, the Bastille was stormed by actors who beheaded the governor and freed the prisoners. A few years later, Quantrell headed off to work at a rival garden in the city. It was named Runley Gardens. And by 1800, owner William Neach put up a rotunda which would hold 2,000 people. He named it the Pantheon. People loved the shows. Around 9,000 people watched the firework display during Assize Week in 1819. But times were changing. This time it became known as the Royal Victoria Gardens and continued to be a popular meeting place where actors would come from far and wide to perform for the people of the city and county. The gardens were closed in 1842 to make way for those newfangled locomotives. Many of the buildings which are part of the gardens were used for the station. The days of the stagecoach were coming to an end. The iron horses were on their way, and they need tracks and stations. It was said that more than 1 million bricks were made at the kilns near Tharston for the new railway. Named after Her Majesty, the station was up and running in 1849 when it started to carry cattle and goods, and then passengers. Victoria Station was decorated with flags, bunting and evergreens for the grand opening ceremony. Despite poor weather, more than 500 people turned up to watch the ceremony. a trained called Goliath, arrived on November the 7th, 1849, to be greeted with flag-waving. A salvo of guns and the bells of St. Peter Mancroft rang out across the city as Goliath headed off for Ipswich. These were exciting and changing times. The fare to London from Victoria Station cost 16 and sixpence, about 62 pence.
So let's get our 62 pence ready and board the train at the Ghost Station of Norwich, Victoria. I hope the seats are comfortable. Is there room in a compartment, or will I sit amongst the general public? I doubt there's a buffet car on board. Good job I brought some sandwiches. The steam is building up and pistons are ready to whir into action, taking this iron horse on south to its first stop at Swainsthorpe, some 5 miles away. Now, cheese and pickle or ham?
Thank you, Tony and Dorothy. Tim has done a great job. I think we'll need to get an apprentice to work with him on the railway stations. The apprentice would be the trainee and Tim would be the coach. I think I'd better stop here. Tim thinks this old buffer is going off the rails.